WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. East Chapel Hill hoping to defend the home turf against their crosstown rivals and acquitted themselves nicely in the first quarter. In the opening moments, they were able to control the pace, run the ball behind strong running by Colby Owens. And then in the second quarter, Darius Allen, who spent the first three games of the season on the sideline, re-entered the fray for the Tigers and has made all the difference in the world, striking runs, including the last one, last two, one of 48 yards, and then a one-yard blast after a 10-yard jaunt to put the Tigers up here at halftime, 19-7. So with the score 19-7, you got to think that Isaac Marsh's Tigers pretty happy with how they came back, and it will be the Wildcats, you know, in the locker room now trying to figure out what they're going to do. And Jeff Hamblin down on the sideline. And Jeff, if you're in the Wildcats locker room here at the half, what are you telling your troops?
Well, you got to keep your heads up for one thing here, because that's important. And you have to find a way, if you're Coach Sherman, to really stay confident when you get right down to it, because let's face it, that's a very difficult thing. And this is an attitude in trying to beat these Chapel Hill Tigers. If you're East Chapel Hill, you haven't done it since 2003. Frustration has really grown within the football program. Last year they came close, but there haven't been many close matchups between these two teams. And right now it's just a question of how close they can come and whether or not they can execute offensively, because East only had four first downs in that first half of play. And offensively, they never got anything established at all, Paul, after Darius Allen got back in the game. Once he got in there, starting with that second Chapel Hill drive after East took a 7-0 lead, really, East never got going from an offensive standpoint.
Okay. And Jeff Hamblin down on the field, he is looking for Bill Hodgkins. And Bill has come up to the press box to join us. We're going to take a 30-second break while we gather ourselves up, and then we will talk to the namesake of the Hodgkins Cup. 30-second break. You listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, 19-7 in favor of the Chapel Hill Tigers.
It's summer and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carborough School sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Vespa Ristorante. It's half off, $30 for Italian and Mediterranean cuisine, available now for $15. You probably know Vespa from its patio, the largest in downtown Chapel Hill. But Vespa is also known for providing high-quality Italian and Mediterranean cuisine. Their exciting selection of delectable dishes can now be yours for half the price. And they're donating 5% of its proceeds from these coupon sales to the Northside Elementary School. It's half off from Vespa Ristorante. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Wade is fishing on a lake and just realized his car insurance bill is due. Should he A, water ski behind a pair of rainbow trout to the nearest post office, or B, pay his bill from Geico's mobile app? The correct answer is B. Paying your bill on Geico's mobile app takes only seconds. A pair of rainbow trout couldn't tow a full-grown man for more than a couple yards. The Geico mobile app is fast, free, and easier to navigate than a couple of fish.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
CHL High School Football Game of the Week. We're at halftime, and Jeff Hamblin has a very special guest.
We're alongside the former Chapel Hill High School football coach and the first athletic director here at East Chapel Hill, Bill Hodgkin, who was the man who wound up leading Chapel Hill to a lot of success on the gridiron. And, Coach, very interesting first half of play here. We saw East Chapel Hill wind up taking the momentum, Echo, and we wound up watching Chapel Hill just wind up taking control of it from there.
You're exactly right. You know, it started off with East Chapel Hill moving the football and throwing that pass down there for the touchdown, and then, I don't know, it the momentum kind of swung when there was a penalty down here on our right end when Chapel Hill had the football and was going in, and there was a penalty on third down, gave them half the distance to go, and then they scored. You know, that seemed to just change the momentum around some.
Coach, when you were here with Chapel Hill coaching, Northern Durham was the power in the Pac-6 Conference, and even though you had future college and NFL stars, constantly you found yourself outmanned against teams like Northern. How do you coach confidence going up against teams that may be outmanned?
Well, you know, the kids, they read the newspapers, and they know what the other teams are doing and so forth. And, you know, it works both ways. You just got to preach it. You play the game because you don't ever know what's going to happen. And I try to always to point out things that that have happened in ball games before.
Right.
You know, we were playing Orange one year, and we were leading them by a touchdown and kicked off to them. And the boy that caught the kickoff took it all the way back. And I saw it coming from the sideline, and he got down to about the 5-yard line and stumbled and fell. And the official, this is the amazing thing, the official was down there to see it. And he marked him down. It was about at the 2-yard line. And on the first play, they fumbled the snap.
That's
we
right.
got it and then ran the clock out, and that was it. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen in a football game or any athletic contest.
You know why it stands out? You know who that player was? It was Alvis Whitted, who would go on to play in the NFL with the Oakland Raiders and went on to play in the Super Bowls.
That's right. And if I'm not mistaken, he was fourth in the Olympic trials in the 100-yard dash, too.
Absolutely. That was a remarkable game. It was a rainy night on a Monday, as a matter of fact.
You're exactly right.
Coach, what's it like having a trophy named in your honor every year for this contest?
Well, it's a great honor, but it's not just me that made this possible. It was all the kids that have come through and the parents that have given their children the support that they needed to persevere through some hard times and then see the light at the end of the tunnel, and thankfully it wasn't a train coming.
That's right. You can always be thankful about that. Well, Coach, it's always great to have you here, and it's an honor to talk to you. You coached a lot of solid, spectacular players. You can't pick out your favorite child, of course, but when it comes to the Bernardo Harrises and the Matt Stevens, all those players that you led over at Chapel Hill High, I know there's a lot to be proud of. So thanks so much for gracing us with your presence and being so generous with your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and it's always a pleasure to be here. And Chapel Hill is a special place for me because of the parents and the students themselves.
Absolutely. Coach, great to see you once again. And we'll hear from Coach Hodgen. He will present the winner of this game with the Hodgen Cup upon its conclusion. We'll go to a break. The halftime score here from Wildcat Stadium is East Chapel Hill trailing Chapel Hill 19-7. You're listening to High School Football on WCHF.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3255.
And out of the talk to the namesake.
Absolutely.
WCHL's high school football game of the week. Well, it started out just like we thought. It was a slugfest.
Yeah. And I was really interested in watching how East responded to adversity there, and it's one of the reasons why they've had a hard time, I think, in this rivalry, because Chapel Hill has had better talent over the years, and that's obvious. But when you get right down to it, I think East has got to respond. We can take a look at the halftime statistics here, and they really tell the story. This game can be told in two tales, basically, or in two phases. What happened before Darius Allen entered the game and what happened after he came
BD,
into the game.
BD and AD.
That's right. Because East Chapel Hill wound up with 98 yards total offense, but you have to remember that 69 of that came on the opening drive. That was a six-play, 69-yard touchdown drive. So after that, East only with 29 yards of total offense after Darius Allen entered this game, and they only got one first down, and they turned the ball over once. East Chapel Hill with 98 yards total offense. Chapel Hill came away with 245 yards of total offense, and they wound up with 176 yards rushing. Darius Allen has a 100-yard rushing game, 123 yards on 14 carries and three touchdowns. He's been a dominant force throughout the course of this game. And you want to know why Chapel Hill is searching for his first win of the year? It's because they haven't had Darius Allen for the first three games.
No, there's no doubt about it. You have that nice 1-2 punch there with Darius Allen and Grant DeSalm. Before, it was just punch.
That's right.
There was, you know, it was just jab, jab, jab. You had no, you know, it was all Grant DeSalm. If he's jabbing That's with right. the left, jabbing with the right, and then he had to go up top to Aaron Hirsch. It's nice to see that you know, that extra hook thrown in there. And Darius Allen really does a terrific job of not only running inside but bouncing outside. But what he really brings is the threat. He keeps everybody honest. Let's go back to the kind of the curiosity here as we see the East Chapel Hill Wildcats coming out to kick off in the second half. They actually won the toss, elected to take the ball, and did. Both teams fell short in their first offensive series, and then it was the Wildcats finally breaking through to go up 7-0 in front of the home folks here, and the crowd has filled in even more. It's an excellent crowd here tonight at East Chapel Hill. Once again, Chapel Hill has brought their folks as well. But the interesting thing was Colby Owens started out as the single setback. He was very effective. He was running 3-plus, 4-plus in the first three times he carried the ball. And then they, in the second series, the third series rather, they moved him to the slot and brought in Fowler. Fowler, much smaller and has been relatively ineffective.
Right.
And finally, just at the end here of the second quarter, they brought back Colby Owen. And, you know, they had success. We'll see what happens. Here's a kick here. Now kickoff goes to the 5 and just dribbles into the end zone. And, boy, there's something that flummoxes even the best special teams player. You see that ball come to you, and the first thing is when it's a low kick, you go, oh, get away from it, get away from it. And you figure it'll bounce at the 5 into the end zone. That thing died like one of your 9 irons.
Right.
Almost at the 1. Somebody comes down, falls on that. It's a big opening play.
No question about it, but it crawled into the end zone, and Chapel Hill will take the ball.
First and 10 at the 20. Ready to start the third 12-minute frame. Alongside Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell bringing you the action here from East Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill Tigers up 19-7 on the back of Darius Allen. and the legs and the arm of Grant DeSalle. Handoff goes. First man through. 10-yard gain right away. Why not warm him right up? 11 yards, Darius Allen.
Yeah, Darius Allen danced between the tackles once again that time, and there is just lightning. They say that sometimes running back can be the most disposable position in football, but in this case it's indispensable how much Darius Allen means to this team.
Well, the guy that's getting a workout in the middle for the Wildcats defense is Josh Baldwin, 6'2", 290, and he is trying to plug the hole there in the middle, and he's having some trouble. They brought Colby Owen in tighter on defense. Here's a little screen pass right side. This one goes to Darius Allen, and Allen stopped at the line of scrimmage, and they're not going to give him much of anything.
In fact, he lost yardage.
Lost just a few inches, not even a yard, but give him second down. Let's call it 11-10 and counting here in the third quarter. And once again, Darius Allen catches a little screen pass, and I think I'd keep him right where he is, which is where he's been most effective. That's a single setback. Gets the ball. Second man through. Rumbles over the 35-yard line down at the 38. It'll be a gain of 9. And with the earlier loss of 1, it brings up third down and a short 3.
And a good job that time by Joey Rain, 6'6", 215 for the block, and also a fine lead by the fullback block that time from Brandon Wendell.
Noah Layden, tight end in the slot to the left-hand side. Won't need him. Going to hand it off right away to Darius Allen. And Allen swarmed under that time. Nobody fooled as they know they were going to him on third down and short. And that's the second time he's actually been stopped on third and short.
Mm-hmm. Chris Alston stopped him the last time in the second quarter, and he did so again right here. So a big third down stop, and they'll make it fourth down.
And you got to think that's a critical defensive stand for the Wildcats to come out here right out of the locker room to give the ball up on the opening kickoff at the 20. And then, you know, just inside of 20 yards later, they stop Grant DeSalle and this high-powered offense. On third down and 2, DeSalle will kick it away. Pretty good kick. Rolls to the side. Whoa, Jack Hankins thought about making a fair catch on that one at the 29-yard line and then sort of got away from it.
Yeah.
I think the ball more got away from him as the sideline, the Wildcat sideline, breathes a sigh of relief, and it will be Wildcats ball on the 20-yard line. It'll bring up first and 10 now for the Wildcats on their own 20 with 9:46 remaining to play in the third quarter.
Have to have some momentum here offensively for East Chapel Hill. Just 4 first downs in the first half, and they've had only 1 since their initial drive, or rather their second drive of the game, which was a touchdown.
Now they've gone to the no huddle, but it has not been a fluid no huddle.
No.
They need to get some rhythm and some momentum and start running down here. Here's Colby Owen. Setback to the right side. Broken play. Was supposed to go to Colby Owen. Stowell will keep it himself. He will get... If he got a yard, they'll call it 2, bring up second down and 8. But that time it was Colby Owen who was looking for that inside handoff right to left. He started to lean forward a little bit early, lost his balance, and Stowell, it messed up his timing. He kept it himself, gets 2 up the right side behind the right tackle. And they will try it again as Colby Owen now. Single setback in the pistol to the left of Connor Stowell now fakes. And it's going to be Stowell actually keeping himself on purpose this time. He goes right over center. And will gain 5, and it brings up third down and long 3, almost 4.
Looks like a couple of zone read plays that East Chapel Hill started out with here. They want to control the clock and try to limit the Chapel Hill possessions. That's why this is a critical 3rd and 4.
Stowell comes up under center and then goes back to the shotgun. 3rd down and 4. First test of the second half from this Wildcat offense. 2 steps out of the shotgun, looking into the flat is Stowell. Now he's in trouble. He's going to run to his right, and he is going to be taken down. He will be sacked in the backfield. And Connor Stowell, that's the 3rd time we've seen him in trouble. The 2nd time, though, that he has been sacked. And look, this defensive line for the Tigers, they are big, they are fast, they are experienced, and they are fundamentally sound with their containment. Connor Stowell's not going to get away from him. He needs to throw it away.
Well, Lonnie Stowell did a great job that time. Or Lonnie Baldwin, I should say, was the one on the coverage sack because the first option coming out of the backfield that time was Parks.
4th down and 5. They are in either go for it or quick kick formation. As Connor Stowell backs up, he will indeed take the quick kick, little pooch kick, to the 47, 45, back down to the 40. It'll be fielded by the single man and dropped by the Tigers receiver. who was back there to receive the kick. Very tough to check numbers here on the far side of the field, but it looked like it was Austin Turner once again back there. And Turner, the ball was on the ground. He thought he'd leave it there. Then he leaned over to pick it up with one hand, dropped it, and it was nearly a big gain, probably the biggest gain of the last 20 minutes for the Wildcats. Would have given them the possession at the Tigers 40, but instead a two-yard loss from the initial spot, and it will be Grant DeSelm coming to the helm. It was on 38 with 7:51 remaining to play here in the third quarter. 19-7, Tigers up on the Wildcats. In motion, right to left, inside handoff, goes to Darius Allen. Fooled no one. Outstanding penetration as it looked like Vince Harrington.
Yep.
All 260 pounds of him was in the backfield to join DeSelm as he made that handoff. It will be a loss of 5 yards and brings up second down and 15. And once again, you know, both these defensive lines, they're fairly savvy.
Yeah.
If you don't have a play that hits right away, a quick hitter that gets to the line, they're going to sniff it out and they're going to get you in the backfield.
That's why Chapel Hill's been so successful at quick hitters tonight.
Taking Darius Allen right across the center. Here's a little bubble screen, delayed screen, intended for Darius Allen. And under pressure was Grant DeSelm. Jumped up and tried to make that a little harder than it needed to be, and he overthrew Darius Allen. It'll be an incomplete pass. Stops the clock with 7:10 left in the third and keeps the ball at 15 yards from a first down.
There was a charge in black jerseys there led by Josh Baldwin, and he was the one. Actually, DeSelm had to throw it over Baldwin's 6'2 frame, and he threw it over the head of Allen.
So third down and 15. After starting at his own 38, ball now back at his own 33. DeSelm, long count, three to the left. Looks left, now back to the right. Steps up in the pocket, has a little running room. Thinking about taking himself, fires a dart that is caught low and complete. Looking like Austin Turner out there across midfield at the 48. Sliding catch by Austin Turner.
And not only a sliding
catch.
And not only a sliding catch, but a running throw by Grant DeSelm. And if you're looking for one area where DeSelm has matured, look no further than that play right there, because East had a very good pass rush.
18 yards on that catch. Puts the ball at the 48 of the Wildcats, keeps the drive alive for the Tigers. At a trips left, DeSelm scrambles and finds his man. Bad snap.
Oh.
A little discombobulation,
you might say that.
As my mom would say.
And we have penalties.
In fact, it was one of those plays where everybody goes and then the center goes, well, heck, I might as well snap it.
Yeah.
See if we can get away with this. It's not going to happen. Going to be a legal procedure on the entire right side of the Tigers' line. 6:30 and counting remaining to play here in the third quarter. 19-7 Tigers, and they are driving. Fourth time we've seen trips left for Grant DeSelm, led by Noah Layden up on the line. Single setback, Darius Allen. Handoff goes to Allen. He is dropped shy of the line of scrimmage. In fact, he's going to lose two more, and it's going to be second down and 17. And once again, no fluidity to that handoff. Darius Allen unable to get to the line quickly, and the middle of that Wildcat line, led by Josh Baldwin, was able to break the coverage. And they get him for two more. Going to bring up second down and 17. 5:45 remaining to play here in the third.
Pace Warnock also in on the tackle.
Man in motion, right to left. Darius Allen, he'll get the handoff. Grant DeSelm pulls it back out. It goes to the fullback. Out of the backfield, Brandon Wendell catches the ball down the middle at the 35. Goes eight more down to the 27-yard line, where it will be a first down for the Tigers. You know, outstanding play action on that inside handoff fake to Darius Allen. Had it in his gut for at least a half a second, pulled it back, and then found his receiver, Brandon Wendell, streaking down the middle of the field. He found that seam at the 35 and gets down to the 27-yard line. 5:15 and counting, 19-7. DeSelm, handoff, left side. Darius Allen spins at the 20, down to the 16. They'll mark him at the 15. It'll be a straight gain of 10, and it will be first down and 10 for the Tigers. Timeout Wildcats, whew, they've seen enough.
Absolutely, and you can't go back to that ball handling by Grant DeSelm enough there. when you see such a solid play fake, that's called riding the running back, and that's what wound up hurting East Chapel Hill's defense, and that's why running right over the middle that time was number 40, Brandon Wendell, and he has come up with such a huge, huge play here to put Chapel Hill on the verge of scoring again. They're already up 19-7. Let's recap the scoring in this game. First of all, East Chapel Hill wound up scoring first. They had the lead 7-0 after a touchdown that came from a solid run, or a pass, I should say, as it was a pass to Arcavius Parks from 49 yards out. That accounted for 49 of the 50 passing yards in the game. But then, at that very moment, East Chapel Hill put Allen in the contest, and Darius Allen has scored 3 touchdowns. East Chapel Hill has been successful once out of their 3 point after touchdowns, and that's why they're up 19-7.
Thank you, Jeff. 5:10 remaining to play here in the third quarter. Allen, the single setback, has Wendell sliding to from left to right, looking for a blocking hole. He'll go right up the middle. Maybe a gain of just a couple. Yeah, taken down nicely there.
Punishing hit by Bradley Wilder, who got in there.
Now Wilder comes limping off the field. .446 remaining to play here in the third. Slow out of the huddle is DeSelm. And you, if you're the Tigers, you'd like to keep this this momentum rolling.
Absolutely.
Noah Layden in the slot, left side, DeSelm. Controlled roll. Oh. Now shovel pass to Wendell. Beautiful call by Isaac Marsh. Down across the 5 to the 3-yard line. They're going to call it the 2. It'll be first and goal for the Tigers. Wow, what a time to pull that out.
And they pretty much ran that play perfectly because East was having to defend the option with Allen as the pitch man, but they didn't account for the fullback.
Quickly back up to the line of scrimmage. Bad snap gathered up by DeSelm. He's going to be caught in the backfield, and he will be dropped for a loss. They're going to give him forward motion at the 3. It'll be a loss of 1 and bring up second down and goal from the 3. Well, let's go back to that play. You know, Grant DeSelm's a righty. He is a right-handed quarterback. For him to do a controlled roll to the right-hand side, he threw a dart of a shovel pass to Wendell with his left hand, and that shovel pass went at least 4 yards. Wendell caught it, turned up field, and got himself just shy of the goal line. But what a terrific time to pull that one out of the bag.
Absolutely, and it worked big. And 2 big receptions on this drive by Brandon Wendell.
Wendell blocking for Darius Allen, looking for the edge. Left side, finds the 5 and the goal line. Stretches out, line pylon score. Once again, Darius Allen, just too much speed. Stretched out the defense. Excellent blocking. I have to tell you, Noah Layden and Aaron Hirsch were wide to the left-hand side. That's the wide end of the field, and they held their blocks because they knew he was coming. They got a little help from out of the backfield by Wendell, and just enough to stretch that defense out to where it was Darius Allen able to turn the corner and get into the end zone. Kobe Fisher puts a full foot behind this one. This has been good from 30. And with 3:34 remaining to play here in the third quarter, 26-7. Boy, it just seems like it ought to be closer than that. But the Tigers have really run downhill here since Darius Allen went into that single setback formation, and he now has 4 touchdowns on the night.
That's right. He's got 3 of them on the ground, 1 through the air, and this has been some fine ball handling, and this has been a standout performance overall by Grant DeSelm, 13 of 24 for 125 yards, and he's had to really learn on the job so far this year because he had to fill some big shoes, and he had to do it without his number one skill player through the first 3 games this season.
Well, and I'll tell you, he's done a terrific job of simply managing the game. Mm-hmm. Quarterback like that, when you have a running back, you say, look, I'm not asking you to win the game for me. Schlake kicks a squib here to the up man at the 30-yard line, up to the 35. It's Colby Owen. He knows how to run a ball. He'll go from the 30 to 34. That's where he'll be marked down. Things getting a little chippy down there as the Wildcats starting to see this one slip away. But back to DeSelm, it's where a coach says to his quarterback, look, you have some skills, but you don't have a lot of experience. I don't expect you to win the game for me, but you could sure as heck lose it.
Right.
So do the simple things, manage the game, get the ball where it needs to be, and don't turn it over. And so far, Grant DeSalm has played this perfectly, and he's been rewarded with a 26-7 advantage with 3:26 remaining in the third. That's where we sit.
Can't say enough about the job the new offensive coordinator for Chapel Hill has done in this game as well. He's dialed up some very good plays when they've needed them.
Connor Stow out of the shotgun, looks left, and threw the ball to Justin Douglas. That is the third ball that Justin Douglas has dropped out of the backfield tonight. All three have hit him in the numbers.
And you go back to after the first East Chapel Hill touchdown, it's been punt, fumble, punt, half-ended, punt.
So here's Stow coming out now. Your throwing team, first down is your bread and butter. He's facing second and 10. Hand the ball off, Colby Owen. They stack the middle. Owen is just going to get a couple here, as it'll now be third down and 8. Make it third down and 7. They'll give him 4 momentum, third down and 7. And with 3 minutes remaining to play here in the third quarter, now you know Stow has to go up top, and he's going to need some protection. He's been sacked 3 times thus far and has not thrown it away. If you just joined us, you're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Hodgkins Cup up for grabs.
And we have flags down.
Whistle on the play. It's going to be a legal procedure against the Wildcats. Just what they needed. Now make it third down and a dozen. At 2:45, the clock will stop. Back to Connor Stow. When he's been able to hand off to Colby Owen, when he's been able to get some traction and some momentum on first down, this has been a dangerous offensive unit. But when they've been stalled on first down, it's been anemic.
Well, he's only completed 3 passes thus far in the game, and not one of them has gone to his favorite wide receiver, Jack Hankins, who's to the near side right now.
Justin Douglas in motion, inside, pump fake, wide left, up to make a terrific grab at the 40-yard line. Outstanding catch. That time it goes to Arcavius Parks, who has been relatively silent. But Arcavius Parks pulls the Wildcats out of a big, big hole. 31-yard catch brings the ball down to the 38-yard line of the Tigers. That was a dart, but it was a jump ball in double coverage. And Arcavius Parks went up and then just kept going. Looked like David Thompson.
Oh, the athleticism right there was tremendous. Parks pulled that one down and gives East some life.
Two to the right. Handoff goes Fowler. Right up the middle. Going to be good for 9 yards on first down. That brings up second down and 1. And here we go with the Wildcats. Little momentum. Little Elon. No huddle. Stow looking over for the play. But here's where they run into some quicksand. Get up on the line. Understand what the play is. Take advantage of the defense not being able to substitute. Taking a little too long to snap. 8-9 seconds. Man in motion. Inside, Arcavius Parks. Join Stow in the backfield. He'll take the inside handoff, and everybody saw that one coming. That's the fourth time they've tried to run it. Big man coming up the middle, making the play. That's Brandon Nickerson. He put all 5'10", 185 into a hit on Arcavius Parks, and Arcavius Parks is looking out the ear hole of his helmet
He's still a little
slow getting up. He was absolutely rattled on that. 1:03 remaining to play in the third. Arcavius Parks is down with an injury timeout. And again, it's the fourth time they've run that. The first time it worked. The second time, there was a missed tackle in the middle, and they got away with it and went another 5. The third time, stopped in the backfield because it was too slow developing. And then this fourth time, they bring Arcavius Parks into the pistol, put him to the left of Connor Stow, and it's a big red flag. Look, we're either going to pass it or we're going to give this short handoff to Arcavius Parks. Either way, put your ears back and come up the middle. And Brandon Nickerson came in and nearly cut Arcavius Parks in half.
That's absolutely the case, Paul. And 138 yards total offense right now for East Chapel Hill. Arcavius Parks is responsible for 85 yards of that. And if they lose him and he's coming up now favoring his left leg, I'm not sure where East Chapel Hill is going to get their offense from.
Well, you mentioned it before that Jack Hankins, you have to catch a ball.
Yeah.
You have to do anything of significance. You know, he has been double covered in most of the times he has taken a route outside of, say, 7 or 8 yards. The times they have put him in motion, they have not given him the ball. But you have to wonder now who is going to take Arcavius Park's place as we see John Graham enter the game for the Wildcats. He'll be there with Ty Woodard on the left-hand side. In the slot to the right will be Hankins.
Justin Douglas now coming out late. He's going to be the 11th man.
Hankins, he's got two on him already. In motion now, Ty Woodard fakes the inside handoff to him. Stahl will go up top. This one tipped at the line of scrimmage. It was intended for Jack Hankins, and it was thrown 5 yards in front of him. The ball looked like it was tipped at the line of scrimmage. Now, there's going to be an interference call down here at the 15-yard line, but the referees are going to come back and talk here. And if the referee and the back judge, if he says that the ball was tipped, not going to be interference. Nope. They're going to say nobody got a piece of it, and it will be interference down the field. Lucky they didn't call that one uncatchable because it was thrown so short by Connor Stout.
And to be quite honest, I thought it was uncatchable because, frankly, that was a poor throw. He had three guys that time around the intended receiver, and it wasn't necessary to interfere with him. He was triple covered.
Well, and Connor Stout, you know, fundamentally very sound typically in the backfield, especially on those drops off the shotgun, and he just threw it way off his back foot, and it was a terrible ball. Handoff goes Colby Owen straight up the middle. That's the power running game that they need on first down. Goes across the 15. Colby Owen, call him the 14. Be a gain of 6. Bring up second down and 4. And under 30 seconds remaining to play here in the third quarter, we will see if Connor Stout is able to get off another play. Play clock has started. Stout gets the call from the sideline. 15, 14, 13. Comes up under center. Backs up into the shotgun. This will be the last play of the third quarter. Stout, handoff, Colby Owen, left side, looking for the first down. He's going to get close. Looks like he'll be knocked down at the 12-yard line, and the end of the third quarter comes up. It will be third down and a short three as the Wildcats will head to the other end of the field. Three quarters gone. One 12-minute frame remaining. Scores 26-7. We're going to take a 60-second break. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Come on back and join us for the final 12 minutes.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Start of the fourth quarter. Wildcats 4 of 14 on third down, and it just got 4 of 15, Jeff, as a run right up the middle by Colby Owen. You knew where it was going. And so did the rest of the Tiger defense as they stuff him at the line of scrimmage. It'll bring up fourth down and 3. Echo.
I'm going to be interested here as East goes forward to see if Hankins winds up getting it. He split wide to the far end of the field here.
He is wide to the open end of the field. Looks at him. Stout drops the ball, throws it to the back end of the end zone. Arcavius Parks is there. Reaches literally out of the end zone for a one-handed grab. He was double covered, and Connor Stout, you know, he really has some strengths. He really does. One of them is not his composure in the pocket when things break down and he has to look to a second or third receiver.
Right.
That time he looked toward Hankins first. Hankins was not open, and as he checked to his next receiver, he lost grip on the ball. Had plenty of time, and instead of backing it out and saying, or what do I need to do here, he threw an ill-advised pass to the back of the end zone, Arcavius Parks, and they'll turn it over on downs.
Yeah, the timing was all thrown off because the snap was fumbled and dropped that time by Stout.
Well, he has to realize you know, when he has to cut his losses and maybe use his legs. First and 10, Grant DeSelm. Handoff, first man through up the middle. That will be Darius Allen. Allen will pick up two. Second down and 8. The ball will rest on the 15-yard line. We are at 11 minutes left in this one.
Well, we've talked and talked, Paul, about the story of this game, and that's been Darius Allen, 153 yards and 4 touchdowns in his first game of the season for Chapel Hill. It looks like he hasn't missed a step.
Wendell, lead block for Darius Allen. Left side, finds the edge, turns the corner, get close to the first down. Mark him just shy. Gain of 6.5, and it'll be third down and short when DeSalm takes his next snap. 10:30 remaining to play here in the contest. Hodgkin's Cup up for grabs. Been a long time since it resided here at East Chapel Hill. Looks like it's going to be at least one more year, Jeff. 26-7. Things started out looking rosy for the Wildcats.
Yep.
And then Darius Allen heated up.
Well, it's been a lot of things. We'll describe this play first.
Handoff goes. First man through. That'll be Wendell. Wendell with the first down. Gain of 4. Be a first down for the Tigers. Another first down at the 27-yard line as they continue to eat up yardage and burn that clock.
And we're going to have an injury timeout here as we have a Wildcat down, and I think that is Chris Alston, and that is the last thing East Chapel Hill needs because that is their premier pass rusher on the turf right now, and he is slowly getting up. No, that's Vince Harrington, excuse me, number 50, who's also had some good charges tonight. So let's make a list here of the things that Darius Allen can do for an offense. Number one, you're talking about the addition of a great skill player who can carry the ball. Number two, his presence frees up the play calling. Number three, that play calling means that you can distribute and convey the ball to more skilled players. We probably have seen more skilled players touch the ball tonight for Chapel Hill than at any other point this year. And there are more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Jeff Hamill with the Domino Theory. Outstanding, sir.
Thank you.
Handoff, right side. Darius Allen, one thing he cannot do is run through brick walls. That would be Colby Owen. Owen meets him at the line of scrimmage, is pushed back perhaps 1 yard simply by inertia. And it will be second down and 1:20 remaining to play in this one. And now, you know, they're really going to miss Vince Harrington here. Harrington, yeah. 5'11", 260, plays in the middle, both sides of the ball. They've had to move Colby Owen further inside.
He's now with 8 men in the box.
Grant DeSalm does not even look at his single setback. Going to roll to his left, going to fire one to the left sideline, going to throw this one away. That's a mature play from Grant DeSalm. He had a running back in the backfield. That was Lonnie Baldwin, the 5'10 sophomore. Baldwin stayed back there to block. He rolled to his left, and there, he wasn't under pressure, but there was just simply nobody open, and he threw it away.
Yeah, it was a good play there. And East's offensive line, or rather their defensive line, just wasn't getting the pressure. Ian Levin tried to do something around end, but he just couldn't get past the blocking on that left side of the line, and Chapel Hill's done a fine job protecting DeSalm.
Well, the combination of Harrington and Baldwin, they weigh in at 260, 290. When one of them isn't there, the other one is less effective. Coming out of the backfield now, it's going to be Darius Allen. You know, he loves to go the other way from the left screen all the way back to the right. He probably ran 20, 25 yards. He didn't gain a yard.
No, he wound up losing them, in fact. He lost one on that play as they went the screen pass, and we actually saw that the very first time he touched the ball tonight. That was not a harbinger of things to come, but it will force Chapel Hill to punt.
Well, and that's the third time that he's attempted that bit of trickery.
Yep.
And he's netted 2 yards. So I think Isaac Marsh might be showing that one in the film session.
Chapel Hill short a man on this punt.
Isaac saying, perhaps we should just run straight ahead. Play clock runs. Under 8:10 is the game clock. 26-7 in favor of the Tigers. DeSalm back on his own 16. Low snap. He will field this one. Low line drive, a bounce. Arcavius Parks have a chance to return this one. It's going to die just in front of him. There are plenty of Tigers there to cover it up. The ball will rest at the 37-yard line, where Connor Stow will come out, take his Wildcats onto the field with a chance to cut this lead to an acceptable point for a shot at this in the last 5 minutes. But I think, well, I know, they absolutely must score on this drive or it's game over.
Well, that's absolutely the case. And you take a look at what this is going to do for Chapel Hill, because their conference opener is next week against Oxford Webb. And this is one rigorous Big 8 conference that the Tigers are marching into here.
Love the Big 8. I love the Big 8.
I might as well go to the old Big A to be easier competition.
That's right. K-State, Nebraska. Oh, here's Connor Stow. Doesn't see this one coming. Late blitz. And it will be the big number, the big deuce of Noah Layden coming in, all 6'5" of him and covering up Connor Stow. He's blocking out the Klieg lights.
Well, that was just
Stow sacked for the fourth time tonight.
Yeah, and that was only a matter of time before Layden got his, because he's been bidding for a sack all night long, coming around pressure on the left end that time, and he managed to finally wrestle down Stowe for the loss of nine.
Loss of nine, second down and 19. Stow back there once again in the shotgun, single setback. Colby Owens, inside handoff, this time Arcavius Parks again. This time he does find the corner, hits it hard, gets to the original line of scrimmage, and about three more. Rumbles over the 40. Says, I'd like two more of those, please, to the 42. And it brings up third down and 5. Outstanding run by Arcavius Parks. But that time, they didn't bring him in, didn't set. It wasn't disjointed. He got that inside hand off. He was able to hit the line quickly, found the edge, turns the corner. Excellent game. They're going to mark him back, say his knee was down at the 42. And it will be third down and 6. Stow now with third and 6 to work with. At the 42, long count. Fakes the inside handoff. Now he's under pressure, being chased, rolling left, has a man behind him, thinks about taking himself, and he does. Ducks his head, tries to get to the 45-yard line. He cannot. Bounces off the linebacker, the defensive back that came up. He'll be pushed out of bounds at the 44-yard line. Coming up to get him on that play, the duo of Dominic Dale and Emmett Thorpe. And Emmett Thorpe, man, he's a missile out there. 5'10", 172. And Emmett Thorpe can hit. Plays a little running back, plays a little linebacker. And Connor Stow was not getting by him. It'll be fourth down and 3. Wildcats, no choice here. They have to go for it. Single setback, Colby Owen. Last time they had this play, last time they had this situation, they went to Colby Owen. This time looks like they're going to pass. Looking out into the flat, checks off, comes down the left side. He's got Arcavius Parks, and Arcavius Parks cannot catch up to it. And I'll tell you, a great throw by Connor Stow, but what you really saw there was the knee injury to Arcavius Parks. He was streaking down the left sideline. He had a step on a man. He beat the second one. He got to the 30-yard line, and he started to limp. And the knee started to weaken and go after him, and he literally missed that ball, missed catching that ball by a step. And Arcavius Parks is still down at the 20-yard line, as the weakness of that knee was evidence on that fly pattern, because if that's Arcavius Parks about 20 minutes ago, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, no question about that. In fact, Arcavius might have injured himself on that third down conversion, which was the last big offensive play for East Chapel Hill in this game. And Arcavius has been the offense tonight when you get right down to it. He was injured in the season opening game. He missed East Chapel Hill's only win of the season against Cedar Ridge. And now they hope to have him back next week, because East has one more game against Randleman before their conference opener, and they desperately need Arcavius Parks, because the East offense is really toothless without him.
Well, and you got to think that you got to pull the plug on him tonight. I was surprised to see him come back, and now on fourth down that turns it over on downs. He was injured three series ago on an inside handoff that was slow to develop. Brandon Nickerson laid out Arcavius Parks. Now we'll see Grant DeSelm. Just time management now. Take the time off the clock. Keep the points on the board. Hand off to Lonnie Baldwin, as Baldwin now getting some mop-up duty. Darius Allen has probably done his job for the night. I don't know how much we will see him at all, if any, for the remainder of the contest. Lonnie Baldwin will get some mop-up time here with the last 6 minutes. Splitting time with Brandon Wendell. Wendell will play the fullback spot.
Chapel Hill up 26-7 here as they look to retain the Hodgen Cup for a 10th straight year.
Bill Hodgen, nice enough to join us at the half. In fact, we have a new quarterback in the game. that has just come in for the Tigers. That'll be Jacob Geskowitz, 5'10 junior.
And that was Jordan Alexander on the toss sweep that time, which worked for 1 yard.
Got back one of the two that was lost. It'll be third down and 11. 5:23 remaining play in this one. As the subs are in for the Tigers, trying to put this one away. Guskowitz out of the shotgun, and that just so often that happens. Short snap, ball's on the ground, and he was able to, Guskowitz able to cover that one at the 47-yard line, and it'll be fourth down and 12 as the Wildcats going to get the ball back.
Yeah, that was a under center snap when it was supposed to be from a shotgun snap, and the ball leaked out of the center's legs that time and wound up going to the turf, so it's a 3-yard loss, and Chapel Hill will have to punt.
DeSalle back in for punting duties. He will sit back at his 41-yard line. Low long snap, under pressure. DeSalle steps up, rolls this one to the 25, gets a friendly bounce at the 22 over the 20, out of bounds at the 16-yard line, and that's where the Wildcats will come back on for probably their last gasp.
Well, this is going to be another year of bragging rights, and what caused this victory when Chapel Hill seemingly had no momentum at all, it came back to a man who reemerged. It was Darius Allen, who has not played the first three games this year because of academic reasons. He made his return to the lineup tonight, and when Chapel Hill brought him back in, East was just never the same after they took a 7-0 lead.
The inscription on the Hodgins Cup for 2013 will read Chapel Hill Tigers. Connor Stout rolling to his right, has a man, and overthrows him. Out on the right flat, that was Ty Woodard. Third time that Connor Stout has attempted to go to Woodard tonight. He's only been successful one time, that in the first quarter. And this is incomplete. Second down and 10 now from the 16-yard line, as Stow will go back into the shotgun once again as Fowler has returned to the game.
Stow is 5-13 here, Paul.
And Arcavius Parks is back in the game.
Wow, that's a surprise.
It's very surprising. You would think that, you know, this one is away. It is this one. There's no way they're coming back for this one. Keep him healthy. Here's Connor Stow back to the line of scrimmage. Going to tuck it under. He's just going to get back to the line of scrimmage. And he will be sacked in the backfield as no one open there. And I'll tell you, the only guy actually open down the field was John Graham, but he was open so late, so deep, there was no way that Stout was going to get him the ball at midfield.
Yeah, there's no way he could do anything about that. So it's going to be third down now, and East has struggled in that department as well, as they've only gone 4 of 16.
Fowler in the backfield. Chris Fowler, this is the single setback, alongside Stout in the pistol. Out of the shotgun, and in motion, left to right, John Graham. Graham fades into the backfield, throws across the middle, and it's picked off. Picked off by Ryan Bradley. Bradley, the defensive back, making the most of his opportunity. It's swarmed under at the 30. Ryan Bradley getting a little room there. 5'9 senior, 120 pounds, all of it heart. Stretches up and gets that one at the 45. And, you know, the Tigers come swarming off the bench. This is obviously a feel-good Rudy play. They're happy to have him in the game. He went up, played the tip drill,
yep,
tipped it three times, turned his back to the offensive line, caught it, and then runs it back for another 12 yards as Ryan Bradley has his memorable moment. Back to the 33-yard line, sets his offense in motion with a chance to really put some salt in the wound.
Absolutely, and East is going to call a timeout here as they're going to try to recollect themselves. But Isaac Marsh will lead his team into the conference slate, which begins next week, 1-3. But it's the right way to go, because the bottom line is he will have a healthier team. He will have a team that is better in terms of quantity. And certainly with the return of Darius Allen, he will have a team going to Oxford Webb next week that is better in terms of quality as well. And this game has to do a whole world of difference for the confidence of one Grant DeSalle, because
He has not had it easy through these first three games, losses to Riverside, a team that may struggle in the Pac-6 Conference, and also South Granville, and of course the Carborough game, which was a great contest from 2 weeks ago.
Well, that they lose after he brings them back on a mishandled snap on an extra point. Otherwise, that game goes to overtime.
That's right.
And Carborough was gassed. Those
yep.
guys were tired, eight guys playing both ways. Guskowitz take the snap. Mishandles this one in the backfield and attempted to hand it off. And lucky that one, that handoff intended for Jordan Alexander, junior fullback in the game. Lucky that one didn't fall to the turf. It'll be a loss of five, bring up second down and 15.
Yeah.
And Grant DeSalle, you know, he really has gained a lot of confidence. And credit where that credit's due for that young man. You know, he took a lot of negative publicity when he called his own number in overtime of that first game.
And he took
negative publicity from his own coaching staff, which really could have set him back on his heels. He put his chin up, said, I know who I am, I know what I'm doing. As we see, the second down handoff goes back to Jordan Alexander. Alexander with a gain of three that'll make it third down and 12. And he picked his head up, and where a lot of kids could have gone, wow, I can't believe that I was called out like that in the media. He said, you know, I'm just going to keep playing. And game two, game three, especially that game in Carborough, he really came into his own. He was an on-field leader. He played exceptionally well. And now you're seeing the dividends pay off here against East Chapel Hill, where he hasn't had to do it all. But when they've called his number, he's really performed well. He's had two outstanding quarterback sneaks in critical situations. And now he's going to get the win here against the crosstown rivals. Here's Guskowitz. Looks upfield. Handoff on the delayed draw to Jordan Alexander. Alexander, a junior, I'm looking forward to seeing him next year. 5'10", 183. He has Trey Sharp size and apparently has a little speed if you give him the ball up the middle. That is a gain of 10, and it will bring up fourth down and two with a minute and a half remaining to play in this one.
And certainly our prayer of the game tonight is going to be Darius Allen, 160 yards rushing, as Chapel Hill calls the timeout. That to go along with 16 yards receiving. So all told in this game, 176 yards all-purpose for Darius Allen, and he played just over three quarters in this contest here tonight, Paul, and can't make any mistake about it. It was really something.
124 left in the game. We're going to take a quick 30-second timeout, and we'll be back with the finish. You listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruiser's, good to go.
Back to action here. Chapel Hill is going to attempt a field goal, 43-yard attempt. It is up, and it will fall short and go into the end zone. The attempt that time by Kobe Fisher. So the 43-yarder goes about 38 yards into the end zone, and East Chapel Hill will take back over Echo, this time at its own 20-yard line. So 26-7 to score after the missed field goal that time. And so, more frustration here for the Wildcats as the ball will go back to the 20-yard line. And we'll see what East Chapel Hill will do here. Then they're going to keep Stow in the game with a minute 19 remaining. Three wide receivers. Here's Stow back to throw. Looking, takes pressure along the edge. He'll crank it up to the near sideline. And the pass is caught. Another great grab by Parker. And even though Arcavius Parker, two separate times in this game, has pulled up limp, he's still in there. And not only that, but making big plays here for the Wildcats as this pass goes all the way to the Chapel Hill 40-yard line. So the gain good all the way to the Chapel Hill 40. It winds up going 33 yards.
And now Stout's going to look to put some points on the board here. 1 minute remaining. Stout out of the shotgun again. Meets up a four-man front. Guns it deep down over the middle again. And it's broken up. Flag thrown. Flag thrown from where the ball landed. It was intended that time for Ty Woodard, who was double covered. In fact, he was sandwiched on the play by the man who made the interception just a moment ago. And it looks like it's going to be pass interference here called against Chapel Hill. So that would make it first and 10 from the 25 of Chapel Hill. And a late charge here by the Wildcats trying to get some pride. So pass interference will take the ball to the 25 of the Tigers. And it will be first down once again. Chapel Hill with the lead. And they're going to retain the Hodgin Cup once again. It'll be first and 10 from the 25 with 54 seconds remaining. Stout back to throw. Guns it over the middle. It is caught. Once again, it is Colby Owens. This time stopped shy of the first down. East has one timeout remaining. They can burn it here. The clock is running with 40 seconds remaining as the gain was good for five on the play. So it'll be second down. East will have one more non-conference game. That will be next week against Randleman. Second and five. And here's Stout going to gun it in the end zone for Parker. It is picked off in the end zone, running it out. 5, 10, to the 15, to the 20-yard line goes Dominic Dale, and he could take it the distance. He's at the middle of the field. He runs past number 11, Hankins. Now a flag is thrown. Hankins is to the east 35, and that's where he has his knees taken out from under him by Stout. So the interception will stand.
Talking about adding insult to injury there. There was Connor Stout trying to drive down the field for a last-second touchdown. That one certainly for pride. But taken away and run back, although it's a flag down on the play, that is not the kind of end that the Wildcats were hoping for this homestand.
Absolutely. So after the difficult loss to Southern Alamance last week, we have a block in the back here against Chapel Hill. The flag was thrown back at the Tiger 32-yard line. So they'll take the ball back to the 22 of Chapel Hill, but it doesn't matter since Chapel Hill will just kneel once anyway, and that will end the game. And once that is completed, Paul, another celebration on the Chapel Hill end. Isaac Marsh has had the Hodgin Cup as part of his office scenery, every bit as much as a picture of his family, a football that he had signed by his team after his very first victory over Orange High back in 2004 as a head coach, and that Hodgin Cup is going to stay in his office for another year. There's the knee taken, and that will do it. Chapel Hill has done it once again. They have retained the Hodgin Cup. It has stayed on the west side of town since 2004, and it will remain there next year when Tigers have to defend it against the Wildcats once again, this time at Colton-Pierman Stadium. And here come the Chapel Hill High students, many of them waving American flags, red, white, and blue in the air, as Chapel Hill beats East Chapel Hill, 26 unanswered by the Tigers. And what a night for Chapel Hill's Darius Allen, 160 yards rushing, as Chapel Hill beats East Chapel Hill 26-7. We'll come back and hear from both coaches in just a moment. You're listening to High School Football. We'll do a two-minute timeout. This is High School Football here on WCHL.
Are you tired of spending money on your lawn over and over without getting the results you were promised? Let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care needed to protect your economic and aesthetic investments. Our commitment to quality and personal service is second to none. Check our references in your neighborhood, Angie's List, and the Better Business Bureau. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon.
Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Attention Carolina fans, Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Chapel Hill comes away with the victory 26-7 tonight, and Paul's down the sidelines. And Paul, it looks like the Bill Hodgins down with Coach Isaac Marsh and a trio of Tigers presenting the Hodgin Cup once again.
Thank you, Jeff, once again. Bill Hodgins presenting the trophy as the Chapel Hill Tigers will keep that cup and have the year 2013 engraved on the cup. And we'll keep it in their stead. The Wildcats of East Chapel Hill came out on fire, scored first, and really thought that they were going to be able to defend their home turf. They were not, as Darius Allen returns to the playing field and does an outstanding job of chewing up the yardage here for the Chapel Hill Tigers. Grant DeSalm acquitting himself nicely, managing the game and doing a terrific job of keeping this offense rolling. And now while we have a moment time to speak to head coach Isaac Marsh. Coach, outstanding performance by your guys. Grant DeSalm managed the game well, but you have to be thankful that Darius Allen has returned to the fray.
Well, I'm always, you know, blessed to have a running back such as Darius in the program. But this right here tonight was a team effort. When I saw Malik, when we scored the first one and he came, it was like, Coach, you know, you should have went for one on that. And I was like, you know what, Malik, that's my fault. Won't happen again. We'll make up for it. So when I have captains like Malik Jackson that's been in the program 4 years, you know, I told him from the beginning of the season, our wins will come from what we do up front, offensive line-wise, defensive line. So all the credit tonight goes to those guys. Even the guys that we put in towards the end, they came off the ball extremely hard, and they played the type of football we want to see from our program.
And you talk about the winning in the trenches. Your defensive line was just relentless in the second through fourth quarters.
Well, that's where our heart and soul. If our defensive line can get going, I think everybody else, you know, will piggyback and pick up off them. So I'm very blessed that we have Noah Layden, Hudson Price, Daryl Parker, Malik, Logan Tisch, and Nate Powers and Neil Duncan, all of those guys coming in the game and working as one unit. So, you know, as a coach, each week we're getting better. I remember our old offensive coordinator, Coach Bonham, always said, what are you going to do now? Get better. Even though he's not with us, we still believe in that philosophy. What are you guys going to do now? Get better. So each week, even though we started off the season on the kind of a down note, but each week we have kept that same philosophy. We're going to get better, and the guys have stuck with us. So this win is a whole team effort.
The first quarter effort, kind of a microcosm of the season thus far. You started out 0-3, and everybody said, wow, geez, there's so much talent on this team. What will they do now? Come here to the Wildcats home field. They jump on you 7-0 early. It didn't faze you. You came right back down the field.
Well, this is a rivalry game, and, you know, emotions are high. It takes a while to get settled in. But for the most part, I'm very pleased with our performance, and we're young. I mean, right now we have probably about 13, 14 seniors, and out of those 14 seniors, maybe five or six of them have actually had this Friday night experience of playing. So we're trying to take the steps to get to where we need to be.
Now, when we talked earlier in the week, you talked about using Darius Allen a little more creatively in this game. Really didn't seem to come to bear. You just lined him up behind Grant DeSalm, and he really showed how quick he gets to the hole and how effective he is.
Yes, so that's one thing. That's going to be, you know, this upcoming week of practice, you know, just continue to work to get him in the position where he's able to do those things at wide receiver. We lined him up some, but as a running back, he still had that mindset. He wanted to cut it back across the field, and we just can't do that. So that's a coaching thing that we'll work with Darius on. And, you know, I'm just thankful that, you know, all our guys, they played extremely well, and we have, you know, no injuries, and we get ready for conference play.
Hodgins Cup stays with the Tigers.
It does. It's rightful home.
Thank you, Coach. Congratulations. Best of luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you.
Listening to WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Back with final thoughts and statistics. You're listening to WCHL 97.5 FM.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home, from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carr Mill Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Oh, there's nothing quieter than the stadium of the homestanding team when they lose to their arch rivals.
Yep. And unfortunately, it's a silence that East Chapel Hill has had to deal with an awful lot here over the last 10 years, Paul, because they haven't beaten Chapel Hill now since 2003, and it's been a long decade. And not many of these games were closed. We thought this one might be closed tonight, but it hasn't worked out that way because East Chapel Hill just couldn't make up against Darius Allen. That was the tough thing about this contest tonight. Darius Allen, as Coach Marsh mentioned, had a whale of a contest, 160 yards rushing on 25 carries, also, and four touchdowns. Passing the football, Grant DeSelm, 14 of 26 for 125 yards. Aaron Hirsch was the leading receiver, five receptions, 37 yards. Austin Turner, three receptions, 34 yards. And Brandon Lindell, I can't forget about his two catches for 38 yards. Might have only been two, but they were both at big times. One was a third down, and then there was another that was that brought them inside the 10-yard line down to the 5. So that led to big things for East, for Chapel Hill. For East Chapel Hill, it was Arcavius Parks who came away with a 100-yard rushing game, receiving game, 111 yards receiving on four receptions. Also, Connor Stout with 7 of 17, 117 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Another night where the East running game just couldn't get going. They had 31 yards from Colby Owens on 10 rushes, but East wound up with 73 yards rushing. Chapel Hill had 223. Play at the line of scrimmage once again goes to Chapel Hill, and that's the reason why they win the Hodgin Cup once again, 26-7. They beat East.
And, you know, Wildcats started out, went up 7-0. You really thought that they were potentially on a roll. They had Colby Owens in the backfield. They were running downhill. He was doing an outstanding job running over center. And then it looked like a shift in game plan, and it their offense just didn't look like it had any fluidity to it in the second and third period. They were never able to recover from that. Their defense spent way too much time on the field and way too much time chasing Darius Allen. And once they started chasing Darius Allen, it opened up again the domino effect. It opened up Grant DeSelm. It opened up the different receivers. They were able to get a little more creative, and certainly they were able to settle into an offensive pattern and routine. And then once the defense got back out into the field with a 10 to 12 point lead, they're just pinning their ears back and coming after Connor Style. They're saying, look, go ahead and hand it off to the big guy. If he doesn't get at least 4 or 5 yards on first down, we know what you're going to have to do. Mm-hmm. And it did not work out for that Wildcat offensive unit.
That's absolutely the case. And also, you can't say enough about what the Chapel Hill secondary did. They did a fine job as well. Lonnie Baldwin came away with some good carries. He disrupted plays, and Dominic Dale wound up with a big interception toward the end there. And overall, just a huge night for the Tigers. It was their first win of the season, and it was at a time when they needed it, because they have a huge, huge game next week, the conference opener, going to Granville County to take on the Oxford Webb Warriors.
Well, and you look at Chapel Hill, once again, you heard Isaac Marsh say it. The greatest thing about it is we came through this. We have some momentum. We're on an upswing. We're all healthy, which is big. You know, you have a guy anchoring the defense there in the middle, and Brandon Nickerson. You saw him put the big hit on Arcavius Parks. He's healthy. You have that front line, all those big guys there healthy. Their tight end is healthy. Grant DeSem, healthy. And, you know, most important, once again, you look into that backfield, you see Darius Allen, scary and healthy.
That's absolutely the case. And with DeSem next week, with Oxford Webb coming up, that's going to be a very interesting test for the Tigers, because this Big 8 conference that they are in is a whale of a league. It's a very, very solid league when you get right down to it, because you're talking about four teams at the very top. A Cardinal Gibbons team that never lost a Carolina 6 conference game. They never lost in the four-year history of that league. Marching in with a Southern Durham team that won the 4A Pac-6 conference. They moved down to 3A this year. An Orange team that has all sorts of momentum, starting 4-0. And you have, on top of that, Northwood, which is number one in our local rankings. Those are four powerhouses right there.
Well, and here's what I really love about this Big 8 is, you know, so many times you see some type of realignment that's done for geography, it's done for size of school, it's done for any myriad reasons.
Right.
And it ruins rivalries. It ruins the kind of the contentiousness of, you know, of schools that are close to each other that have kind of a history. None of that happened here. Mm-hmm. In fact, if anything, it increased it by adding two more schools to the mix that are still have some blood rivalry within that community of teams that was put in. And now they're not only playing for the pride of that particular game, now it's playing for, you know, for some from conference bragging rights.
That's right.
I love the Big 8. I think it's one of the best conferences in the state of North Carolina. The quality of football from top to bottom, it is going to be intriguing, and it's going to be incredibly intriguing to see who comes out of this conference. And if they are healthy enough to make it through the state playoffs after the beating and banging. This is the black and blue division.
Absolutely, and it reminds me of the way it was back in Fayetteville in the late 90s when you had teams that would finish third in the league going up against conference champions of another league, and they would face those conference champions in the second round of the playoffs and go to their stadium and beat them. That's how deep the league was. In fact, you would have conference matchups in the third, fourth round of the state playoffs. It could very well be the same thing here when you have Northwood, Orange. They're playing next week. You're going to be over in Pittsburgh for that one. And then, of course, Cardinal Gibbons and Southern Durham. Going to have some powerful teams, and Chapel Hill getting a big matchup next week against the Warriors in Oxford.
And you and Walter Storl will be where next week?
We're going to be over at Cardinal Gibbons for the conference opener for the Crusaders. They're going to take on Cedar Ridge, and Cedar Ridge's difficulties have been well known. They're off this week. They are winless thus far on the year, and they have their work cut out for them next week against the 3-1 Cardinal Gibbons team.
They certainly do. Chris Casey will have them prepared. That Cedar Ridge team, they are always, always, always 8 minutes from putting together a complete game. They are a very, very good winless football team, and hopefully they will be able to find stride. And what better way to do it than potentially on a chilly night at Cardinal Gibbons? As for myself and Jason Tudrin, the head coach the Carrboro Jaguars, we will be at Northwood High School, where we will see Orange take on Northwood in what has to be one of the most anticipated games of this young season, and certainly the first juggernaut contest of this young conference.
Yeah, there's no question about that, because Orange is off this week. They did not have Pat Pettiford last week against Graham. Still managed to roll the Red Devils 35-0. Pettiford should be back next week after he sprained his ankle in Orange's victory over Riverside 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So that matchup with Orange in the double wing against a spread look that the Chargers will have, that's going to be some matchup.
I'm going to have to bring an extra lung. Bill Hall, he's got to be so happy that that one's taking place at Northwood. My
Absolutely.
Goodness. Hey, you've been listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Hodges Trophy. It stays with the Chapel Hills Tigers. Thank you to Alex Curley. Thank you to Bill Hodges for coming up and speaking with us. Thank you to the folks here at East Chapel Hill. And thank you, my friend, for coming out and joining us tonight. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Once again, the Chapel Hill Tigers come out on top of the Wildcats. Join us next week from Northwood High School. Orange against the Chargers. Bill Hall getting excited. Bill Renner getting excited. Ty Pinnix under center for those Chargers. We'll see what happens. I hope you'll come join us. Good night, everybody.